Welcome, everybody, into another edition of the Campus Tailgate Podcast here on WGN Radio. I'm Kevin Powell, and pleased to welcome in once again Stanley Jackson, former Ohio State Buckeyes quarterback, and you can see him now on the Big Ten Network. Always happy to have you on the show, Stanley. Appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, I'm going to jump right into it and get your thoughts on the Ohio State-Michigan game. This is a game I think everyone early in the season was excited about, mainly because of the head coaches, Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh. This is a matchup I think we're going to see, obviously, a lot of moving forward. As the season started to progress, we all expected Ohio State to have this big, great year. And then Michigan, out of nowhere, really, has this huge turnaround. They look like one of the better teams in the nation. So everyone had this circled on their calendar. Ohio State at Michigan at noon on Saturday. What are your thoughts on this game? What are you expecting? And I think this is going to be another fun Ohio State-Michigan game that's really going to kick off this Urban Meyer-Jim Harbaugh. I don't want to call it a rivalry, but this matchup between these two great coaches.
Yeah, they're, it's a significant difference from the pros to the college game, where in the NFL, the players are the face of the program, right? So if Larry Fitzgerald or if it's, whoever those dominant players are, particularly the quarterback situation. But in college, it's about the coaches. So as soon as Michigan hired Jim Harbaugh, I thought it was sensational for their program. He's a winning coach. He plays Big Ten style of football, so mm-hmm. I thought it would be good for their program. And I'll say this, I think I was a little ahead of the curve. I told folks that Michigan would win 9 games this year. And so I'm not surprised that they're sitting here in this position, because if you look at the one thing Brady Hoke was able to do, that was recruit. And he did a phenomenal job of recruiting. And so Jim Harbaugh is taking it to the next level. This game is always special. It always means a lot. And it'll be exciting to see who can, sort of figure it out this week and get a big win.
Well, Stanley, you've played in this game, in this matchup, this rivalry. What's it like as a player?
Yeah, I don't have the fondest memories of this game, quite frankly.
Yeah.
We struggled against Michigan in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
My coach, unfortunately, gets a bad rap, but, in my career at Ohio State, the 5 years I was there, we almost averaged 10 games a year. And 1 year we had 9 in 1994. That was the 1 year we beat Michigan. So it's a tough game to determine sometimes, because you never know who's going to show up. And you think of the last few weeks, or the last few years, I'm sorry, Michigan has showed up, and they weren't a good team. And they had Ohio State on the ropes. So this would be very interesting. It's always the best game you play in. It's always the one you remember the most.
And one more thought on this game. Zeke Elliott ripped his coaches a little bit in the postgame last week after that Michigan State loss. Ohio State coming off one of its worst offensive games in years. Just awful. Season low, 14 points, 132 yards. What was the offense struggling with? Why did they struggle so much? And are they going to be able to move the ball on the ground against this Michigan defense?
Listen, not only was it the worst game offensively they've had all year, it was the worst game Urban Meyer has ever had as a head coach. 134 total yards, 5 first downs. And I think a lot of things went wrong. Number one, if you've got a horse, you got to give him the ball.
Yeah.
And 12 touches for Zeke, granted, he exploded in the media afterwards. It's probably a discussion he should have with the coaches in the locker room, but that's a problem. He's got to see the ball more. And if you can't run it with him, then you've got to figure out a way to get it in his hands, whether that's, spreading him out so he can run a slant or incorporate some screen game. But the Q run being your number one play against a defense front like Michigan State could always be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then, too, the offensive line just didn't play well. I thought defense played good enough to win. They only gave up 17 points. You should win that game at home. It was all on the offensive end. And let's hope they can figure it out this week against Michigan. So you got to give your best players the ball, and that's something they didn't do a week ago.
Well, the winner of that game, the Ohio State-Michigan game, will be watching very closely the Penn State at Michigan State game. Michigan State has to lose in order for Michigan or Ohio State to have a chance to win the East and move on to the Big Ten championship game. Penn State, no chance at a Big Ten title game for them. They're looking to play spoiler this week against Michigan State. Connor Cook, Michigan State's quarterback, questionable for Saturday. What do you see in this one? Can we see a potential upset, or is Michigan State going to take care of business?
Listen, I think Penn State definitely has the ability to upset Sparty. I mean, they've got a really good running back in Saquon Barkley, and at times Christian Hackenberg looks like a top 10 pick, right? I mean, they've got big play wide receivers, and their defense is as good as anybody in the country. And so if offensively they don't put the defense in bad positions, then you got to think they've got a shot here. And if you look at what Michigan State has done all year, I mean, very similar to Ohio State, where they've been up and down.
Right.
If you go back to after they were able to sort of beat Michigan the last play of the game, the next couple of weeks, they didn't look that great. And so not having Connor still isn't good for them, but if they can execute the game plan the way they did against Ohio State, and that's load the box, force Penn State to be one-dimensional, and see if Christian Hackenberg can throw the ball effectively with their banged-up offensive line, then that is a recipe for success for Michigan State. But if I was them, I'd be acutely aware of this game, and I wouldn't look past it. You work yourself back into the van. You know, don't let it out the back door because you didn't respect the game or respect Penn State.
And, again, that game kicks off at 2:30 on Saturday. Moving to the lone Friday game of the Big Ten, Iowa at Nebraska. Iowa has worked themselves into the top four in the college football playoff rankings. Iowa, about a month ago, really, I think all of us looked ahead at their schedule and we said, well, the next few weeks are, you know, pretty much cake for them. They could seriously run this table, and that's what they've done. But everyone was sort of looking at this Nebraska game. Like, okay, maybe Iowa runs the table, but they've got Nebraska on the road. Nebraska's not happy with their season. They need a win to get into a bowl game, sitting at 5-6. Is this a trap game for Iowa, or do you think they do what they've done all season, steady as she goes, and find a way to win this one?
No, I think this game is very dangerous for Iowa. Now, I still like the Hawkeyes, but again, Nebraska is a very capable team. I said it on BTN a few weeks ago that for Nebraska to salvage the season, you know, they had the opportunity to knock off two of the premier teams in the conference and in the country and go bowling. Well, they did that already with one of them. They knocked off Michigan State late. And here's an opportunity with a high-powered offense to get after Iowa. And if you look at what Iowa's been able to do, the one area where they've struggled of late is on the defensive end. They've given up 27 points the last three games. And so I think it's definitely a game that they need to be up for. They can't look past the Cornhuskers. When Tommy Armstrong plays well, his offense does good things. And they've got a chance to – Iowa has a chance to do something special, right? So you want to finish the deal. The offensive line is one of the best in the country. I think you want to be able to establish the line of scrimmage. They run by committee. You get Ken Ziri and you get Daniels going, get Wiley out there. You can shrink the game and give, you know, Nebraska's offense less opportunities to catch you late. If you just look back to last year, Iowa got up on them and couldn't finish the deal. So this year they've got to finish.
All right, last matchup I want to take a look at with you, Stanley. Northwestern U of I will be played here in Chicago at Soldier Field. Northwestern sitting at 9-2, looking for their fourth 10-win season in program history. Illinois last year beat Northwestern in the final week to keep Northwestern out of postseason play, as if Northwestern needs another incentive to beat their rival U of I. U of I, 5-6 on the year, 2-5 in the Big Ten. They're fighting, though. They need that sixth win to find a way to get to a bowl game. But what do you like in this game, and what do you see? What do you see playing out this Saturday?
Well, I think Illinois has a few challenges. And number one, when they're good, is because they run the ball well. And so you're going up against this Northwestern defense that, I mean, has really shut everybody down. I think Wisconsin, even though they haven't run the ball great this year, they had negative 26 yards last week against Northwestern. So that's going to be a problem for Illinois if they can't get the run game going, because Wes Lunt hasn't been able to carry the load on his own when they have to, you know, when they have to focus on the pass game. So I like Northwestern. The one question mark I have for them, though, is simply what are they going to do with Clayton Thorson? You know, last week I think he was 9-for-20 for 62 yards passing. That's not good enough for an elite team and a marquee program that's playing really well right now. So I really think they've got to incorporate more quarterback run for him. When they were beating teams early, he was having success running the ball. And I think that's something that for a kid as young as him allows his confidence to build. So I'd incorporate a little more short passing game, get the Q run going, get Justin Jackson going, then let that great defense do what they do and it shut people down.
Yeah, that's a great point. In Northwestern's two losses, they fell behind early and just too much load for Clayton Thorson to carry with his arm. So, yeah, obviously a strong start for Northwestern is a must. But, Stanley, before I let you go, I'd like to touch on the college football playoff rankings. Clemson number one, Alabama number two. No change there. But Oklahoma jumps to three, and then Big Ten, Iowa, sitting at number four. Iowa, Stanley's going to have to win out. Do you see that happening? We just talked about the Nebraska matchup, but then they're going to face Michigan State, Ohio State, or Michigan in the Big Ten title game. Can they beat any of those three teams?
Yeah, I think Iowa can beat anybody in the country, quite frankly. Wow. I think when you watch them, they've got, you know, one of the better offensive lines in the country. I mean, C.J. Beathard is not just a game manager. He's a big play kid that can make plays with his arm as well as his legs. You've got three quality running backs that are doing well this year. Now, the defensive end, they get after you. They don't allow a lot of rushing yards. They've got the nation-leading interception guy and Desmond King. And they've got enough pieces in place. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They're not heavily penalized. They don't turn it over a bunch. And even though it's not, you know, a sexy, high-powered offense, they put together five straight 40-yard, 40-point games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they can beat anybody. I mean, now, some of those games, they've got to be perfect. I think against Michigan State, they've got to be perfect, but they've proven to be able to do that this year and win close games, something they didn't do a year ago. So I think Iowa's sitting in good position, but I agree with you that they have to win out. I think if they were to lose to Nebraska, that's going to drop them. But even if they beat Michigan State, they probably can't get back in it, because mm-hmm. I don't think the committee truly respects their overall body of work, because there is no reason why Oklahoma, with one loss to Texas, that barely got away from TCU with their backup quarterback, should have jumped Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be a problem for Iowa. And I also think that Michigan State is a better team at this point than Oklahoma. If you look at collectively, there's three big wins. They went on the road to Michigan and won, on the road to Ohio State and won. Then they knocked off Oregon, who nobody in the Pac-12 wants to play right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on the outside looking in. So I think both teams will have to win the rest of their games in order to go dancing at the end.
So if you had your pick right now, you'd go Clemson, Alabama, Iowa, and Michigan State?
No, actually, I wouldn't. If I had my pick, you know, I know the Clemson story is compelling, so I'd probably keep them at one. But number two for me is Iowa right now.
Wow.
And, you know, when you look at their overall body of work, you've got three top 25 wins, right? And so why aren't they getting the respect they deserve? They beat, you know, now, granted, Wisconsin just got knocked out, Pitt just got knocked out, but at the time, both of those teams were ranked, and Iowa just keeps on winning. And Alabama has a loss, and I don't think it's a great loss. I don't think Ole Miss is a good football team. So I think the fact, the virtue that Alabama lost the game should have them behind Iowa, because at the end of the day, you know, the original prerequisite for any college football team is to win your games. And a team shouldn't be rewarded because they lost. And I'm not the guy that believes the SEC is as great as everybody is saying. I mean, you just look at that play. Tell me, outside of Alabama, who are you really confident about that can beat anybody else in the country? Is not one dimension LSU. Florida doesn't have a quarterback. All right, so I'm just not one to buy that they should be there with one loss. So I've got Iowa second behind Clemson, and then you've got all these one-loss teams that I think you can argue about all of them. So I'd put Alabama and Michigan State in there.
Interesting stuff as always, Stanley. We really appreciate it. How can people follow you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, all that?
Absolutely. You can catch me at Jacksonville 8 on Twitter.
Stanley, can't thank you enough, man. Really appreciate it. And we will talk to you soon.
Anytime. I appreciate it.